The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. Today is Monday, July 10, 2023. Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez denounced the lack of transparency and manipulative behavior of the European Union in the preparation of the third CELAC European Union Summit. In a video shared on Twitter, the Cuban foreign minister stressed that such actions seriously jeopardize the success of the meeting and the possibility of reaching final agreements. He added that there are reasons to be concerned about the third summit of heads of state and government of the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, CELAC, and the European Union, scheduled to be held on July 17 and 18 in Brussels, as they are trying to impose restrictive and divisive formats that would make direct and transparent discussions impossible. Rodriguez pointed out that the summit can and should be a space for serious, participatory, and plural dialogue which identifies solutions to collectively face, despite differences, the multiple global challenges. He noted that Cuba will attend the summit in a constructive spirit and will contribute to strengthen, on the basis of equality and mutual respect, dialogue and cooperation between the two blocs for the benefit of the peoples of both regions and the world. He said that they aspire to meeting that reaffirms the strict respect for the Charter of the United Nations, international law, and the postulates of the proclamation of Latin America and the Caribbean as a zone of peace. Rodriguez explained that the leaders of both regions will meet again after 8 years without doing so in a very complicated international context, and that beyond speeches and declarations, the reality is that no progress has been made in bioregional ties, and even in the last period, they have gone backwards. Cuban Vice President Salvador Valdez Mesa received during the weekend U.S. journalist Dewayne Wickham and other academic personalities visiting the island. Since his first visit to the island in 1999, Wickman has been organizing trips for students and journalists from the U.S. interested in learning about the Cuban reality. At the meeting held at the Palace of the Revolution, Valdez Mesa expressed his gratitude for the actions promoted by the visitors to improve relations between the two countries and eliminate the blockade imposed by the United States on the largest of the Antilles. Wickham is a renowned journalist, academic, and author of works published in multiple U.S. media, received a special teaching status of visiting professor at the University of Havana. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel congratulated through his Twitter account the inhabitants of the eastern province of Santiago de Cuba, host of the central event for the National Rebellion Day, which is celebrated on July 26. The Political Bureau of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Cuba approved granting Santiago de Cuba the venue of the national event for the 70th anniversary of the assault on the Moncada and Carlos Manuel de Céspedes garrisons. In addition, it decided to grant the status of outstanding to the provinces of Cienfuegos and Santi Spíritus for the stability and progress in the main tasks outlined by the highest leadership of the Caribbean nations. Yemen and Cuba agreed on the need for intensifying bilateral cooperation, including the issue of environmental investments, the SABA agency reported. According to the source, the matter was discussed during a meeting in Havana between the first Deputy Minister of Foreign Trade and Foreign Investment of Cuba, Ana Teresita González, and the head of Water and Environment of Yemen, Tawfiq al-Shadjabi. Al-Sharjabi ratified the importance of the Cuban experience in the elaboration of an economic and investment vision. He pointed out the necessity of increasing the level of cooperation between the two countries and reactivating the joint committee. He also stressed the importance of strengthening the ties in the sector through the exchange of technical consultations, capacity building, and the generation of new knowledge. The Cuban authority expressed Cuba's position of supporting the end of the war in Yemen and advocated expanding bilateral ties. As part of his visit to Havana, the Yemeni minister also met with the Cuban Minister of Science, Technology and Environment, Elba Rosa Perez Montoya. Participants in the first meeting of solidarity with Cuba and Argentina's Norte Grande expressed their support for the government and people of the Caribbean nation and demanded an end to the U.S. aggression against that country. Gathered in the city of San Miguel de Tucumán, members of several organizations and representatives of the island demanded the end of the economic, commercial, and financial blockade imposed by Washington on the island for more than six decades. They also called for the exclusion of Cuba from a list of alleged sponsors of terrorism drawn up by the United States and the closure and return of the territory legally occupied in Guantanamo. Organized by the Argentine Solidarity Movement and the Union of Cuban Residents in that country, among other groups, the event issued a statement noting that Cuba does not cease to bring its solidarity to the world by deploying its army of white coats with missions in more than 164 countries since 1960, it contributing to control the Ebola epidemic in Africa and sending 58 brigades to face COVID-19 in 42 nations. The U.S. empire brings weapons, war, and death to every corner of the planet. Cuba shares health, education, equity, and freedom. It is a symbol of struggle and solidarity with the people, it concluded. And in the international agenda, we have that the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean, ECLAC, released a new special report on a regional agenda for productive development around lithium. Latin American states should generate a productive development agenda around lithium to promote its extraction for the benefit of economic activities directly and indirectly related to the mineral, ECLAC said. The report is entitled Lithium Extraction and Industrialization, Opportunities and Challenges for Latin America and the Caribbean, and was presented by the Executive Secretary of the organization, José Manuel Salazar Sirinash, in Santiago de Chile. The text points out the role of the region's lithium-producing countries, mainly Argentina, Bolivia, and Chile, and also Brazil, in the global value chain of lithium-ion batteries that is the main current use of lithium. The document calls on ensuring that regulations and standards for the lithium industry include society's greater demands, adequate management of social, environmental conflicts, greater transparency, and citizen participation. Meanwhile, 15 days after the 2023 general elections in Guatemala, the Supreme Electoral Tribunal still has not made official the results of the first round, so concerns on this matter are growing. Citizens are now waiting for the Supreme Court of Justice to make a decision regarding the second review of the ballots that ended last Thursday, ordered by the Constitutional Court. The parties, Valor and Todos, pointed out the compliance of this last process by the departmental electoral boards in the specific cases of the districts of Zacatepeques, Retalhuleu, and Central. The prosecutors of the Semilla movement filed a complaint before the Constitutional Court the day before against the resolution of the Supreme Court of Justice signed unilaterally by the president of the judicial body, Silvia Valdez, which delays the officialization of the results. A good part of the Guatemalan population considers that this scenario puts at risk the constitutional time to carry out the second round of elections on August 20th. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.